It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Coming up a little later on today's show, an exclusive interview with Yaron Seidman, Consul General of Israel to the Mid-Atlantic region, who is visiting Pittsburgh. And also, we'll celebrate the 60th anniversary of Errol Garner's legendary Concert by the Sea. But first, in a few minutes, a live conversation with Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf to find out if we are any closer to ending the budget stalemate in Pennsylvania and averting serious consequences, including education cuts, cuts in services, and further credit downgrades in Pennsylvania. We'll begin by reviewing the timeline of how we got to this point. Almost 4 full months now without a budget. Pennsylvania's new fiscal year began on July 1st without a spending plan in place after Governor Wolf vetoed the entire $30 billion budget bill passed by the Republican-controlled General Assembly. In August, the Republicans proposed a compromise that would meet the governor's key demand of restoring school funding but require the governor to agree to a plan to reform public pensions. The governor said he would review the proposal, but he is clearly not in favor of the Republicans' pension reform plan. In September, the Republican majorities in the State House and Senate passed an $11 billion short-term spending plan, but Governor Wolf vetoed it. The bill was intended to cover 4 months of funding, retroactive to the start of the fiscal year through October 31st, and would have released $24 billion in federal funds. And earlier this month, a plan from Governor Wolf to end the budget stalemate was soundly defeated by the State House. Wolf would have needed Republican votes to get the proposal passed, but wasn't even able to get his own party on board, as 9 Democrats voted against it on October 7th. The impasse has now reached 120 days. Meanwhile, the state human service providers who may be in the most difficult position when it comes to expensive borrowing to cover their costs are hurting. A United Way of Pennsylvania survey found that 47 organizations statewide have laid off staff or reduced hours and benefits. Among 282 organizations, 30% have reduced services or implemented waiting lists. As if that bad news wasn't bad enough for Governor Wolf, yesterday, the state Supreme Court ruled the contested head of the state's Office of Open Records can keep his job. Eric Arneson, who as a legislative aide helped draft the current Right to Know law, was the choice of outgoing Governor Tom Corbett to run the Office of Open Records. A week later, Governor Wolf fired him. Arneson sued with the backing of the Senate Republican caucus. The Supreme Court ruling says Mr. Wolf was wrong to fire Arneson because it compromises the independence of the Office of Open Records. A Democratic justice authored the 3-1 decision, and certainly it is a setback for the governor. We will ask him about whether he will now be able to work with Eric Arneson, who has kept his job as the head of the state's Office of Open Records. How will he be able to work with a guy that he, in fact, wanted to fire? Other things we'll be talking to the governor about. A Robert Morris University poll is showing nearly half of the respondents had a favorable impression of the governor in spite of the budget impasse. And topping the list of budget priorities among the respondents, education, one of the key selling points for the governor. Governor Wolf, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
How are you doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Let's start with the most recent development. The state Supreme Court has ruled that Eric Arneson can keep his job as head of the state's Office of Open Records. How will you be able to work with a guy that you wanted to fire?
Well, I think he's a good person, and I think that what he's doing is really important. The Office of Open Records is really important. I think one of the first things I did on the very first day I was a full day in office, called the cabinet together to have a seminar, basically a lecture on open records and what we need to do to make sure that we're as transparent as possible. So I think the Office of Open Records is absolutely important. I think the Supreme Court ruled that in this particular case, and it narrowed actually the ruling over the the appellate court that preceded it, that actually I have the right to fire people at will. But in this particular case, they were saying that the nature of open records merits some independence from that. And so that was their ruling. And again, I am committed to open records, and I think that's how I work with Eric on this. We're both trying to do the same thing.
On to the budget. A Robert Morris University poll is showing nearly half of the respondents had a favorable impression of you in spite of the budget impasse. Topping the list among their own budget priorities is education, one of your key selling points. Because of this, it's been suggested that you have little or no incentive to end the standoff. What about this?
I am so I have the same anguish and I understand the pain that so many school districts and human service providers are going through right now as a result of this budget impasse. I think what so many people in Pennsylvania see, however, is that we need to get to a good place permanently, not just for a few weeks or a few months. We need to actually have a balanced budget. We need to actually invest in education. But we need to do it for the long run. And so I think the incentive we all have is to get to a good budget, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. And I'm holding out for a good budget, not smoke and mirrors that I was presented with on June 30th. And I think the incentive I have and the incentive that the people in Pennsylvania have for us getting to a good budget is the same. We want good schools. We want our schools to function. And to do that, we've got to get to a budget. So I have an incentive to get to a budget. I just have make sure that incentive is to get to a good budget.
You've been criticized for offering insufficient concessions on pensions. A Post-Gazette editorial says the GOP leadership has been saying for months that it wants major changes to the pension plan for state and public school employees in that regard, that the changes you've suggested have been minimal and that you're changes to your tax plan are significant, but still not sufficient. What other concessions are you willing to make at this point?
I take issue with that, that my concessions on pensions were inadequate. Are you kidding? I made huge concessions on pensions. I made huge concessions on liquor. I have taken almost $1 billion out of my original March 3rd budget proposal. I have made concessions and offered compromises all over the place, including just 4 weeks ago, the last time on a tax package that took sales tax changes off the table. So I've compromised on my calculation on the severance tax. I don't know where this goes. I have gotten nothing since June 30th from the Republicans. On the other hand, so I have a hard time understanding how anybody could say I have not compromised.
Many citizens want to see, Governor, want to see full liquor privatization. GOP legislators are on board with selling off the state-owned liquor monopoly. You vetoed such a plan. Wouldn't this be the peace offering you could make that you could offer up to Republicans to gain other concessions to end the budget crisis?
Paul, that's what I just said. I conceded that. I said, now, I think you can't give an asset away to somebody, but my proposal was privatization of both the wholesale and retail distribution of liquor. So were there differences in terms of the plan? Yes. I think mine protects the citizens of Pennsylvania much better than the plan I was given, which basically just gives this away. This is an asset, and we need to make sure that we're treating that asset from a financial point of view wisely. We're not giving it away, that we're actually selling it or transferring it for some value for the people of Pennsylvania, and I think that's my job to stand up for that. But that was my compromise. It was to put it in the hands of a private operator. I'm not sure what the difference between that and privatization is, unless somebody has a different idea than I do. I have made that compromise. We're still at a place where I've gotten nothing in return.
Are there any discussions at this point between you and Republican legislators? And if so, is any progress being made?
Well, there are conversations going on all over the place. And I think there is a broad agreement in this building that we need to get to a budget. And I think there is a growing awareness that we need to do a budget that actually works. I understand this is different. This is a change from prior practices, what I'm asking for. But I think this is what Pennsylvanians deserve. If we don't get a balanced budget, if we don't get one that actually adds up, next year we're going to be facing a huge gap that is going to create much more havoc than the delay this year has caused. And so I want to avoid that. I want us to get it right this year, and that's what I'm trying to do.
It's the Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, our guest, Governor Wolf. We're talking about the budget stalemate. It's been particularly hard on nonprofits, Governor. One nonprofit director in central Pennsylvania says the budget impasse has led to at least one suicide attempt. A woman going to therapy for experiencing domestic violence, but she couldn't get herself to therapy sessions alone, and Domestic Violence Intervention of Lebanon County had stopped providing transportation for clients. The woman tried to take her own life. How do you feel when you hear stories like this about people who are suffering because you and the legislature can't get a budget deal done?
I feel terrible. I feel absolutely awful. The question, again, is, I mean, these are bad choices. The alternative is, I think, if we don't stand up this year, that maybe that service is provided for a few more months, but we get to the next budget and that service is eliminated altogether, not just delayed, but eliminated. And that's what I think we need to understand, that this is not a battle between, something that we have and right now we get these services and something that, or that we have to wait for. This is something that is going to go away if we do not prevail in actually getting a budget that works. So I think this is the right fight, but it is it's there's no question, as you point out, this is a fight, and there's no question that there is a lot of pain out there. We need to get a real budget. I want that.
One last thing I wanted to bring up, Governor. Heroin is quickly becoming one of the state's biggest public health concerns. The head of the Allegheny County Health Department has issued a standing order for pharmacies to sell the overdose reversal drug naloxone. What can the state do on this front?
Well, thank you for asking, because the state can do a lot, and I have already done a lot. What we've done is have announced that all Pennsylvania State Police cars will be equipped with naloxone kits. This has already saved lives, including out in Allegheny County. We've announced that we support schools carrying naloxone. The Department of Health has recently awarded over $900,000. We got from the federal government to combat the heroin epidemic crisis all around Pennsylvania. And my own budget back in March included $5 million to the Department of Drugs and Alcohol to assist counties on this issue. And I'm also putting $2.5 million in that budget for the Department of Human Services for naloxone kits. So we recognize we have a problem, and I have already done what the counties are starting to do, and I'm encouraging all counties to do that, because we do have this heroin problem, and we have got to address it. And I think this is one way we can, one part of a way of addressing it.
Governor Tom Wolf joining us by phone from Harrisburg. Governor, we appreciate your taking time to join us. We hope that the budget impasse is resolved soon.
Thank you very much, Paul. Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Likewise. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Coming up, a conversation with Yaron Seidman, the Consul General of Israel to the Mid-Atlantic region. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.